Welcome. Hola. Bienvenidos. Bonjour et bienvenue to the Social Network Show. Welcome to the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media. We give you actionable information to make your social networking the best it can be for business to business, business to consumer, and for folks who just like to post. And now, broadcasting from the studios of the Hank Greenspoon School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, the host of the Social Network Show, Jim Nico, and Dr. Jane Kawaski.
Did you know that companies with women on their founding team achieve higher returns on equity than companies with no women founders? Yes, investors stand to see higher returns on their investment when they fund women-led companies rather than companies with only male leadership. And yet, women entrepreneurs are far less likely to seek outside financing, and those that do are less likely to get it. For every 3 men raising equity financing to start or grow their businesses, there's only 1 woman doing likewise. Women are 1/3 as likely as men to grow their businesses to $1 million and beyond. So, what gives, you wonder? Why does this state of affairs exist, and what can be done about it? That's what you will hear our guest today discuss, and you'll learn what she's doing about it. This is your host of the Social Network Show, Jane Karwoski, experimental psychologist, Dr. J, along with my co-host, Jim Nico, chief instigator of our parent company, Social Network Intermedia, LLC, and executive producer of SNI Productions. Jerry Stengel is founder and president of Venture Near. She describes herself as a baby boomer with the heart and soul of a millennial. She grew up believing that dedicated, thoughtful people can change the world by working together. And she is still a believer. Jerry is even more committed to the possibility of meaningful change because we have a huge untapped resource, women. For the last few years, she has researched and written about the challenges and successes that women face in the entrepreneurial business world. Her passion to get women on the radar as leaders of mega firms led Jerry to write Forget the Glass Ceiling, Build Your Business Without One, and she contributes regularly to Forbes magazine. Jerry, welcome to the Social Network Show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so delighted to be here.
We're so excited about being able to just be a part of women rising to the top as far as entrepreneurial brilliance, and thank you for your devotion to this cause.
Thank you.
And we're very excited about your launch of the Venture Crowd, and we'll get into details on that. But first, I'm wondering, why is it that women entrepreneurs are so important to the economy?
Women entrepreneurs could boost the economy in a way that really hasn't been seen since women entered the workforce in masses in the 20th century, and that's according to Kauffman Foundation, which researches and advocates for entrepreneurship. Women represent 30% of all firms, but only 16% of firms that have employees, and 10% of high-growth firms. If women were engaged in the economy to the same degree as men, the GDP, the total value of domestic products and services, would increase 7 to 9 points, according to Sally Krawcheck, who was an investment analyst and is now chair of Elevate, which is a professional women's networking group. If women were funded to the same degree as men, 6 million jobs would be created in 5 years.
Well, that sounds pretty good. Something that we would definitely appreciate and our society definitely needs. Well, what is standing in the way of women entrepreneurs reaching their potential in your point of view?
Well, society hasn't been supportive of women advancing in positions of power. It's caused a confidence gap in women. So women aren't going for the brass ring in terms of growing and scaling their companies. They're not asking for funding. And there also is, on the flip side, there really is discrimination. It may be unintentional, meaning people tend to fund people who look just like them. So whether you're talking about angel investors or venture capitalists, if you're white and graduated from an Ivy League college, that's who you're going to tend to fund. So women receive 50% less funding, and as you mentioned, for every three men receiving funding, only one woman does. And what's most interesting is that research by Dow Jones Venture Source, Illuminate Ventures, Kauffman Foundation, as well as the SBA, shows that women-led companies deliver a higher rate of return on investments.
So once they get the funding, they do well with it.
They sure do.
Okay. So what occurs to me it almost sounds like a hesitance or perhaps a reluctance to go for funding, in the sense of maybe not wanting to get into debt, which seems to be necessary to scale up your business. So can you talk to that?
So there's a couple of different ways of getting funding, and yes, debt would be one of them. I don't know that women have more aversion to debt than men. I'm not aware of any research in that particular area, but women don't ask for funding to the same degree as men do. So that doesn't matter whether we're talking about debt or we're talking about equity. So debt would be you're taking out a loan, and equity would be somebody's investing in your company, and they're getting shares in your company.
Okay, so can you just give us a brief rundown pursuant to that on this whole picture of funding? How does a company typically grow to be a mega firm in terms of the finances?
So that's a really interesting question. So I wrote a book called Forget the Glass Ceiling, Build Your Business Without One. And of the 10 women that I interviewed, the three women who had the largest companies, Nina Vaca of Pinnacle, Mandy Cabot of Dansko Shoes, and Liz Elting of TransPerfect, actually grew their businesses without outside funding. So in some cases, you can grow your companies, and all three of them have firms that are over $100 million. So Liz's firm is $400 million. Mandy's is, I think, 150, and Nina's is 200 million. Certain firms don't need outside funding because they can grow organically. Other firms, it's really essential to their growth. So a technology company, in order to scale and become highly profitable, needs outside funding. So some of the other women that I interviewed, like Danae Ringelman of IndieGoGo and Luann Cox of Crowdnetic, do need to raise outside funding so that they can reach profitability and scale.
When you say a company is worth 400 or 200 million, how do you get to that figure? What does that figure actually include?
So that's sales. So that's not the valuation of the company, and that's, you know, based on annual sales. So,
oh, okay.
I'm going to say that I wrote the book in early 2014, so those are revenue figures that would have been for 2013.
Okay, and when the comparison is made between what women's companies are doing and what men's are doing, we're talking revenue also?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely, revenue. So, you know, sometimes you'll see or you'll read in newspapers about, you know, companies being valued, you know, at $1 billion or $1 trillion. That's not what we're talking about. This is just the sales of the company.
And what kind of ideas do you have as far as what's going to fix this situation, the underfunding of women entrepreneurs? I'd be interested in what you're working on.
Yep. So I want to fix both sides of the underfunding women entrepreneurs equation, so both the women entrepreneur side as well as the investor side. And I'm going to do that by providing education in the form of tools, insights, and training. And as I said, it's going to be for both the woman entrepreneur as well as the investor, and the investors are both male and female. So the kinds of things that I would be providing for or addressing for a woman entrepreneur would be ways to get past self-doubt, advising them on what works in equity crowdfunding. So there's a new type of financing called equity crowdfunding. It was approved by the SEC on September 23rd, 2013, and based on a year's worth of data, women are not using that type of funding. So only 17% of all people that are trying to raise equity crowdfunding are women-led companies. So I want to increase the size of the slice of the pie, and I want to increase the pie itself. And so I'm going to be educating women on
ways of obtaining that funding.
Yeah, so ways of, you know, what works in crowdfunding, how to do the marketing, what the structure of the deals are, what the, you know, what the valuation of the company is. So you value a company in a, you know, with a different formula that does take into account revenue, but it also takes into account what future revenue would be.
Okay, well, I really want to know more details about that. And in our next segment, we'll go into that. I'm Jane Karwoski with my co-host, Jim Nico, and you're listening to The Social Network Show. Our guest is Jerry Stengel, and she is about to launch The Venture Crowd. So we'll come back and talk more about just how you're going to deliver that education and what kind of results we can expect to see.
Questions? Comments? Email us at questions@thesocialnetworkshow.com. We'll be right back.
As internet technology advances, so does the threat of cybercrime. And the instant you go online, you become vulnerable to dangers such as identity theft, computer viruses, phishing, spyware, and more. In times like these, we must all protect ourselves from cybercrime. Antivirus software, firewalls, and security patches are just the beginning. Never open suspicious emails, only navigate to trusted sites, and change your passwords every 90 days. Backup important files to external storage devices. Tell anyone who uses your computer to be vigilant when downloading from the internet. Keep your kids safe on the internet. Teach them never to give out personal information or post information about their school or extracurricular activities. Installing parental control software and monitoring their computer are all good ways to prevent cybercrime. To learn more about cybercrime, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Now, back to The Social Network Show.
Welcome back to The Social Network Show, where Jim Nico and I are chatting with the president of VentureNeer, Jerry Stengel. Well, Jerry, tell us some more about how you're going to deliver this education and how people can access it.
So it won't be ready until March, but the first thing that will be ready is a guide or a report, and then later I'll be unfolding training that will be done both in person as well as through webinars and online.
Mm-hmm.
So we have supporting organizations and media partners that we're working with to help distribute this information. I'll be writing lots of articles for Small Business Trends, Women 2.0, Enterprising Women, The Next Woman, Business Women Experts, really to educate both sides of the equation, both women entrepreneurs to use this type of financing, and investors, both men and women, as to why this is an exciting investment option for them.
Great. So it's a multi-platform, multimedia approach, and that is going to be very helpful, I'm sure, to a lot of people.
Jerry, in terms of your experience and what you see going forward, I've been around crowdfunding a little bit. I've been studying it. And basically, one of the things that I'm wondering about is when people get involved in it, are there players out there now, people that are helping with crowdfunding that are really, in layman's terms, a one-stop shop? In other words, can people that have very little experience but have entrepreneurial ideas, women in particular, can they approach this topic, this possibility of crowdfunding, equity crowdfunding, with the confidence that someone can really help them, and it may be you and your associates, but help them all the way, even to the point where they can reach that audience that can invest? You know, I mean, I know I've heard some anxiety around how can you reach the people that are actually going to help you, you know? Is it a one-stop shop that you see happening?
So everything is a spectrum. So there are crowdfunding platforms. And actually, even before I go into the equity crowdfunding platforms, I want to take a step back and just say that there are three types of crowdfunding that is appropriate for small businesses. So reward-based crowdfunding would be on crowdfunding platforms like Indiegogo and Kickstarter, where you're getting in exchange for your money something tangible, an item or a service. So if you were familiar with the Pebbles watch campaign of a couple of years ago, where they had a high-tech watch that they were selling before they actually manufactured it. So they pre-invoiced the watch, and that allowed them to raise the money to manufacture the watch. That's not what I'm talking about. There's also another option of lending. So organizations like Lending Club and Prosper have been lending to individuals, and now they're starting to lend to small businesses. And the third category is equity crowdfunding, which is when you get in exchange for your money shares or stock in the company. And there are, just as there are a variety of reward-based crowdfunding platforms, there are a variety of equity platforms. So you have the no-frills kinds of crowdfunding platforms like AngelList, and then at the other end of the spectrum, you have Portfolia, which gives you a lot of support in what you're doing. And that support can be everything from making sure that the angels that you are raising money from or the investors that you're raising money from are accredited angel investors. So right now, you're only allowed to raise money if you are wealthy enough to be able to afford losing money. Mm-hmm. The SEC has certain guidelines around that. So that's that you earn $200,000, or that you have assets of $1 million outside of your home.
Okay. And that reminds me, it takes me back to the idea of just a rundown on generally when people are trying to raise money for a venture or a business, there's the angel investor, and then does seed money come after that, or is it sometimes the same thing? And then what are the rounds or series that follow that in a traditional funding approach?
So when you're using equity funding, the first round would probably be friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving you money because they love you. they may also want a return on their investment, but, your family and they love you. The next round would be seed investors, and that might be angel investors. You might get some institutional money from venture capital. There are some venture capitalists that you know, play in the early stage of a company, and then you would have Series A, B, and C and D. So you some companies don't need to go all the way up to D. It really depends on whether you need more money to grow your business to scale and achieve, you know, high profitability.
Okay, and then thank you for just kind of giving us the general outline there. Now, in terms of crowdfunding, can you tell us a bit? You explained like the reward based and the what was the second one?
Debt.
Debt.
Yeah, and then equity.
Yeah. Okay, so this is where you're giving the investor an interest in your company one way or another. So
that's equity, yes.
Right. And that's now available through crowdfunding. So tell us about the Venture Crowd, your crowdfunding project to help support your initiative to help women become better funded.
So to provide the guide and the training, I'm actually doing a crowdfunding campaign, and it's called The Venture Crowd, and I'm doing it on plumalley.co, which is a reward-based crowdfunding platform that is geared towards women entrepreneurs. So I'm walking the walk and taking the challenge myself by crowdfunding the project. I want to know from firsthand experience what it's like to really do a crowdfunding campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And even though what you get in an equity crowdfunding campaign is different than what you would get in a reward-based crowdfunding campaign, meaning with the equity campaign you get shares in the company. In a reward-based program, you're going to get an item or a service. In my case, it's going to be a report or getting acknowledgement in social media. It might be training, so there's different levels of rewards that you would get within my campaign, so it's something tangible that you're getting. And then in addition to that funding, I also have funding from Dell and a law firm that specializes in crowdfunding, Elinoff Grossman and Scholl. We also, to help spread the word about the campaign, we have media partners, and those include business women experts, enterprising women, small business trends, the next woman, and Women 2.0. And we have about 15 different supporting organizations. So the women's empowerment organizations that care about women's entrepreneurship, organizations like ASTIA and Inforum and the National Association of Women Business Owners, the National Women's Business Council, Springboard Enterprises, and Women's President's Organization, all of them are participating and helping to get the word out through their newsletters, through social media, whether that's Twitter or Facebook. We're using every trick in the book to, spread the word about the campaign.
Okay, so you're using a reward-based crowdfunding project to educate about equity crowdfunding.
Yep, you got it.
Very
That's
good.
Exactly right. And it's called the Venture Crowd, and it's being hosted on plumalley.co.
So that's where one would go to participate.
Yeah, plumalley.co, and you know, just look for the Venture Crowd.
Okay, so I have two other questions. One, how can people help you, and how can people take part in this and get as a entrepreneur?
So there are multiple levels of support, so everything from free through $15,000. So from being an evangelist and helping us spread the word to a $25, $75, or $100 contribution if you're an individual, to if you're a corporation, $1, $5, $10, and $15,000 levels. And it'll be easiest if you go to plumalley.co to see what the rewards are for each level.
Okay.
But it's commensurate for the amount that you're paying.
Mm-hmm.
So This is to provide education to women entrepreneurs so that they use equity crowdfunding as a way of financing their business, and it's also to educate investors about the opportunity to invest in an undervalued investment vehicle. So, you know, Warren Buffett looks for undervalued, investments
mm-hmm.
in the stock market, and women are an undervalued, women-led companies are an undervalued investment.
Right. So very smart to invest. And so then you're going to be doing that education pursuant to getting the guide. The guide will be the first thing out, and then using all of those different media like the webinars and the some face-to-face meetings and so forth. Well, this sounds like an awesome project, and I certainly hope all our listeners will visit plumalley.co and see what they can contribute and also what they can gain. And especially to women who are very successful in what they are doing, I would certainly hope that they'll take a look and do what they can to support the sisterhood.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much. And Dr. J, do you want to end the show now with any parting words for our listeners?
Well, yes. Thanks for listening, first and foremost. And please also take a look at 50shows.com. That's 50shows.com to hear more important things about women worldwide with dreams to live. And we certainly put our best wishes to Jerry Stengel and her initiative, The Venture Crowd, and we really hope this will be inspiring to many women-led businesses to go ahead and take the plunge and get more funding in whatever form will be wisest for them so that we can see more and more success for the economy in general and utilize this wonderful resource we have of all this female brain power.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Social Network Show, the only worldwide show dedicated to social networking and social media, coming to you from the studios of the Hank Greenspan School of Journalism and Media Studies of UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Listen to archived shows and follow us on Twitter. The views expressed on The Social Network Show are those of the hosts and guests and may not be the views of Social Network Intermedia. The Social Network Show is produced by Social Network Intermedia, copyright 2012.